Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
Coming live from the SMRP 2018 conference, it is my pleasure to welcome Adam Strudel. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? How are you?
Doing very good. So Adam, you work with Ludeca.
Yes.
What exactly does Ludeca do?
So Ludeca is a solutions provider for many technologies, things like shaft alignment, precision alignment, ultrasound, vibration, geometric measurements, things like flatness, level, squareness. We do induction heating. So we try to cover all the bases.
Excellent. And as many are probably well aware, precision alignment is super important to preventing premature failures, ensuring reliable equipment.
Correct.
So with that, how long have you been involved with precision alignment and Ludeca?
So I started with Ludeca in 2010. So we're looking a little over 8 years now. As far as precision alignment, I've actually been involved with rotating equipment for about 10 and a half years. So I was working on the design side of rotating equipment in an aerospace company prior to Ludeca. When I moved back to Miami, where we're located, I got into the precision alignment business and I've been doing it since.
Excellent. So what exactly is precision alignment? Is it taking a straight edge, holding it against the couplings and saying that's good enough? Or is it a little bit more in depth than that?
Definitely more in depth. So precision alignment is making sure that the rotational center line of the equipment is as collinear as possible. So you can't really truly achieve collinear in the real world. So we try to get it as collinear as possible. That's why we use tolerances in our alignment. So that's exactly what it is. We're trying to get the shaft, the rotational center line of the shaft, to be as collinear as possible under operating conditions, which is very important. You know, you can align it to 0-0 theoretically, but once the equipment runs, it can run out of alignment. So you want to make sure that it's under operating conditions that it runs aligned.
Yeah, it may warm up or expand because of thermal growth and a variety of other things, which throws that center line right off if you don't take that into consideration.
Correct.
Now, what type of benefits would an organization expect to achieve if they implemented precision alignment?
Well, the one right off of the top of my head is definitely more uptime. So if you're doing precision alignment at your facility, you're incurring less failures, okay? And alignment is going to keep your equipment running, okay? So you have technologies that tell you have a problem, like infrared, ultrasound, vibration, but alignment is what's going to keep your equipment running. So you incur less bearing failures, coupling failures, seal failures, things like that, lower your vibration levels, the heat on the machines. So these are the benefits of doing precision alignment.
So less downtime, you know, more reliable equipment. Equipment lasts a lot longer in its lifetime.
Correct.
Excellent. So how does precision alignment vary from what you may typically find in an organization right now with straight edges and strings and stuff like that?
So I would say that precision alignment has almost become the standard now. So more and more companies are going away from the straight edge and the strings and the, you know, credit card, if you may. And even if you're doing dial indicator alignment, we consider that precision alignment as well. Of course, a laser may be more efficient, a little bit more accurate, but you can do precision alignment with a dial and as well with a laser.
So we can still achieve the same results with a dial indicator.
Correct.
Or a laser system. But we got to be using something that gives us some degree of repeatability, accuracy, and measurement.
Correct.
Okay.
And documentation.
Yes. A very important part. Now, what's included in a typical alignment process?
Okay, so you want to first make sure that you take care of your pre-alignment checks, okay? Safety procedures is always first, right? So you want to make sure you tag out and lock out and every other safety procedure that the company has. You want to make sure that you do a visual inspection of your foundation, making sure that everything is good and right. And you want to take care of cleanup. You know, make sure that you clean the area that you're going to be working on, the feet of the machine, the coupling, the shaft.
So why is that cleanup so important then?
Well, if you don't clean up under the feet, for example, you're going to create this soft foot condition where you create a spring effect under the foot, which can potentially cause bearing damage.
Okay, excellent. So we got to have a clean area before we can begin the precision alignment.
Absolutely. From then you can start doing rough alignment, and then, you know, start doing your laser alignment or dial indicator alignment. Then you do your final soft foot check, and then you finally align to tolerances.
Okay.
And document, of course, as I said earlier.
Documentation, so we can verify with that question, I guess. What should be included on a document?
Okay, so what you want to see in a document, you definitely want to have the name of the person who did it, when it was done. Hopefully, you want to have the as found condition and the as left condition. So how you saw it when you got there and how you left it when you were done. You want to make sure that a soft foot check has been done. So there has to be some proof of a soft foot check. You want to have any thermal growth compensation that was done. If it was zero, then it is zero. But some accountability that it was taken care of.
Yep.
And at the end, maybe a signature of the person that did it.
Excellent. Now, I know some of the tools you guys sell, the Easy Laser systems, they have those reports built in. They capture the as found, as left.
Correct.
And all that other stuff. Why is it important to have the as found, as left?
Well, you want to, again, accountability. So that's proof that I did work. So this is how it was. Mm-hmm. I changed it. I made it better. Yep. And here's the proof.
Yeah, I think the one thing too that it does is you can start seeing if it's falling out of tolerance over time. You can almost use it as a condition monitoring aspect as well.
Definitely, definitely. I've seen that in many companies that are trending the alignment.
Excellent. Now, what tools are required for precision alignment? You mentioned that you can use a laser system or dial indicators. What are the pros and cons of each of those, I guess?
So the dial indicator and the laser are the obvious ones, right? So I'll answer your question, the first question. What are some of the tools, right? So again, the laser and the dial might be the obvious ones, but you want to have wrenches and feeler gauges are very important for soft foot correction. You want to make sure that you have a torque wrench and that you have a full shim kit at your disposal, which is a problem in most companies nowadays. But some of the simple ones that you don't think about is making sure you have a pen and paper, you know, to write things down as they come. Something as simple as an extension cord is important. If you don't have one and you forgot to charge a laser the night before, you know, it might take you an hour to go to the tool room and come back with an extension cord. That's wasting time, wasting resources. And things like, you know, pry bars or a flashlight, things like that, cleaning supplies. Those are some of the tools that most people don't think of that can delay the alignment time.
Yep.
Now, to your second question, what are some of the differences between laser and a dial? So a dial is more of a visual tool. There's really no... The documentation comes down to the person writing down the values that they see. And in some cases, again, a dial can be very accurate if you know what you're doing. But, if I see the dial at a certain angle or another angle, I might see 2.5 versus 2,000s, for example. And depending on how you mount the dial, if you mount it at an angle, you might read something different than if you mount it perpendicular to the coupling, for example. And the laser kind of takes that away.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Okay. So laser is really making us a little bit more efficient. It's allowing us to improve the documentation, stuff like that.
Correct.
Over a traditional dial indicator.
Correct.
But we still have to understand what we're doing, right?
Absolutely.
You can't just grab a laser, throw it on, and start pushing stuff around, can we?
Absolutely not. I mean, now you have lasers that are easy to use, that are intuitive. But even then, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be successful.
Yeah.
So training becomes very important for a technician. So a technician might be proficient in alignment. You know, they've been doing it for a long time. but you're not going to have that technician in every facility.
Yes.
Or you may not have them available for that particular job at that particular time. So you want to make sure that all your technicians are properly trained, not only on how to use the tool, but know alignment fundamentals and know what are the best practices and what things to look for when you're doing an alignment.
Yeah, so they go away from the PTH or precision torch and hammer that they used in the past for alignment purposes, right?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Excellent. So we talked about documentation. Why is it so important to have that documentation aside from the accountability? What does it really give us to capture all this information? Why do we need that?
Well, you mentioned, companies have been trending alignments over time, right? But it's very important, for example, for root cause analysis, if there was a failure on equipment due to alignment, why is it misaligned? Did we do a software check? That's on the report. Did we compensate for thermal growth? The technician said that he aligned it to within tolerances, within 1,000s even, let's say. But if we didn't account for thermal growth, the machine is running misaligned. And on the report, on the documentation, it'll show that.
Yep.
And of course, nowadays, some companies won't commission the rotating equipment without alignment documentation.
Excellent. So can you just give the technicians, say, a laser kit and expect great results right away?
No, definitely not. The technician might be good at doing alignments, but they may not know how to use that particular tool, or they may not know the best practices. So, training is very important in that sense.
Yeah, I know you talk to a lot of experienced mechanics. A lot of them don't even know what soft foot is, how to measure it, how to check for it, how to do any of that. So if you give them that alignment system, they don't take that into account. That could cause some significant issues with your alignment, correct?
Not only with your alignment, with the life of the equipment as well. You get a lot of premature bearing failures just because software wasn't accounted for, or it wasn't checked, or it was checked, but it wasn't fixed.
Okay. And some of the laser systems actually have programs built in to do the software check to document those things, correct?
That's correct. Most laser systems nowadays will have a way to check for softfoot. Of course, the best way still to correct a softfoot condition is with a feeler gauge. Even in 2018, you would think 21st century, still the best way to correct a softfoot is with a feeler gauge. But the laser alignment tool will tell you where the problem is or kind of guide you or where to pinpoint the softfoot condition.
Okay, excellent. Now, what do you think is one of the biggest things that makes a difference and organizations being successful with precision alignment?
I'll say this, man. It all starts with a good installation. If the proper installation wasn't done, you could align the machine, but that alignment may not last. So what I mean is you want to make sure that the base plate was properly grouted, is properly bolted down, that is rigid enough to withstand the mass of the equipment, that it, when it's mounted, that it is flat and that it's level. And any mounting pads for the feet, you want them to be coplanar as well. If they're not, anytime you torque down the machine, you'll create a twist on the frame of the machine, which will distort it. And that's a bearing killer right there.
So it's not good enough just to throw a block of concrete down, slap a pump and motor on there, and away you go?
Correct. You're absolutely right about that.
I see lots of organizations do that. There's lots of stuff that comes into play there. The size or mass of that mounting pad, if you will. You said proper grouting. I've seen organizations where they put the concrete in, they put threaded rod to mount it, and they don't grout underneath it at all to the base plate. They just leave it like that floating in the air. So proper installation is definitely a major piece to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned having the feet on a coplanar surface.
Correct.
What exactly is that?
So if I say collinear, for example, that means that two lines look as if it was one line. Okay. When we say coplanar is you want to make sure that all four mounting pads where the feet are going to be are at the same height, for example, and that they create the same plane. So you could have two mounting pads in the inboard feet of the motor, for example, and they're sitting at an angle with each other. So they should be level with each other and flat to each other. So essentially on the same plane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we have, say, the motor on one base plate and the pump on a separate base plate.
Okay.
We really have to be careful with that then, correct?
Well, in that case, if they're on different base plates, ideally you want them to be coplanar. If, for example, let's say a pump is on a pedestal, for example, they're not going to be coplanar. But in that case, you want to try them to be parallel to each other.
Okay. Excellent. Now, we talked about precision alignment today. What is the one action you want our listeners to take away about precision alignment?
Okay, so I'll quote Mr. Jeff Shiver here. And he says that the number one tool for reliability is standardized work. Okay? So with that in mind, I want the listeners today to take away to follow a procedure. When you're doing an alignment, you want to make sure that you, again, you take care of your pre-alignment checks, you know, the base plate and all that, that you do a rough alignment, proper rough alignment, you take care of rough, soft foot. Then you want to make sure that you get your alignment closed before you do a final soft foot check. And then you do a final alignment, final vertical, horizontal, that you document your work, and that you always follow a procedure. That way you'll minimize the human error aspect of things, and everybody will do the job the same way. And I would say not only for alignment, for any task that's being done out there, follow a procedure. A standardized work will minimize human error.
And Ludeca has an excellent poster, and I'll do the plug here, an excellent poster that shows this. I believe it's a 5-step process you guys have for it.
That's correct.
And it
that's
has
correct.
The tolerances in it, making sure you, if you don't have thermal growth numbers, it's got the calculations in there. It's got all kinds of great things. It's on my that's wall correct. In my office at home, actually, because it makes sure that.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
You know, you don't forget those simple things.
Correct. So yes, we have a wall chart that talks about the alignment fundamentals, the tolerance, as you said, some of the tools that I mentioned earlier. What are some of the tools you want to bring with you on the job? You know, what types of software you may encounter, how to calculate thermal growth, mm-hmm. what happens when you're bolt bound. So a little bit of information for everything. It's ideal to put on a maintenance shop or something like that for reference.
Excellent.
We also have the 5-step procedure. By itself. It's downloadable off of our website and ludeca.com.
All right. We'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes so people can find it quickly and grab it.
Sure.
Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
It would be that is, what can I say? Two things?
Absolutely.
So definitely take care of a good installation. It all starts there. And the second would be to follow the procedure. Follow any procedure, even if you don't use ours. If your company has a procedure that has been written before, follow that so that everybody makes sure, you know, everybody follows the same guidelines.
Yeah, and I believe there's an ANSI standard coming out for precision alignment or machine installation, or it might already be out now.
It is out already.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a tolerance paper. It's actually quite lengthy as to how the tolerances are calculated, what are the minimal tolerances that should be reached, what is a good standard, and what is considered precision at that point.
Excellent. So another great resource for our people to reference. Now, where can people find out more about you, Ludeca? Where do they go to get more information on this stuff?
So we've been doing seminars all over the country. We've gone to different cities talking about these kind of things. Our website is a great resource. We have under the ludeca.com, we have an alignment blog, a weekly blog where we talk about not only alignment, we talk about condition monitoring, ultrasound, different things. Something as simple as YouTube. We have our YouTube channel has a series of know-how videos. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice graphics. The topics are simplified, short videos to the point.
Excellent.
And people can learn a little bit more about alignment that way as well.
All right, perfect. We'll make sure to put links to all those in the show notes. Do you have any of your favorite resources on the website or out in general that you want to share with our listeners as well?
Well, definitely the know-how videos is, like I said, is visual, is to the point. As far as a book, for example, the obvious would be the Shaft Alignment Handbook written by John Piotrowski. It's a thick book where you can learn pretty much anything about alignment in there. I would say those two. And of course, ludeca.com is a good resource as well.
Perfect. Well, Adam, I want to thank you for taking the time today. I always enjoy talking about precision alignment, precision maintenance, because it prevents or it extends the length of life of an equipment and
absolutely
prevents a lot of those random failure modes that we have a tendency to see that are never root caused properly to bad installation or alignment. So
it was my pleasure, James. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.